Great music. We appreciate y'all. Good testimony music, which kind of leads into a segue of where the message is today. If you have your Bibles with you, and take and open them up to the book of John, regular old Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. During praise and prayer, while you're turning to that, Herman made a comment, and I want y'all to realize that's a significant comment. He said, with this eclipse for 4.6 seconds, that old Dutchman over there is going to go out and buy a flashlight. That is a significant thing for a Dutchman to spend money on a flashlight for 4 seconds. So he's been impacted by this eclipse. 4.6 seconds. Okay. We all understand how tight them square-headed Dutchmen are. So, Lord have mercy. Herman is on a spending spree. Did Butteries have flashlights in their sale catalog? Is that the deal? Only reason he... Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. And that explains it. Very good. That's good to laugh. Thank y'all so much for the music. Excellent. We appreciate that. And thank y'all again for the lovely flowers, the lilies that you have placed here. So this is for Chris, you know, you kind of compare it sometimes to things we see in the world. For Christians, when Easter comes up, this is the Palm Sunday or the triumphal entry as we are. It's like the last playoff game before the national championship, right? So that's what has happened on this Sunday. Next Sunday is the big Super Bowl, the national championship of what it takes place. And for Christians, because... your last song brought that so much. Exactly everything that Christ did on that cross, as we will see from today forward, all of it meant something, but from today forward led up to that resurrection day. And that is what gives you and I life, gives us redeeming with our Lord who created us, and gives us the testimony that we can share with others. So this morning the message is entitled, Lamb Selection. And I want you to understand, so there's going to be a mixture of Old Testament and New Testament here, in that when we celebrate Easter, the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, are going to be celebrating the Passover, which we understand the Passover is to commemorate what took place. There is for God to secure their freedom out of Egypt. And they were told to slaughter the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost. The angel of death came and passed over those with blood, but those who did not, he killed all the firstborn, right? And so that is that commemoration. And we have had in the past different deals about the Passover and how, and actually some of the now Christian, we've had them several different occasions, but some of the folks who were raised Jewish have become Christian, and they've talked about it because, you know, we read about it, but we're not Jewish. It's not something we were taught from a child. But how actually that Passover does nothing but depict the coming of Christ, but yet they missed it, okay? And we still got people today, folks, that are missing it, okay? That's the sad part. It's right in front of them, and they missed it. And Jesus' day was no different. So this is Palm Sunday, of the Lamb of God. And part of that, when I say it's Lamb Selection Day is the title, is this is the week before, and I'll show you the scriptures here in a minute, but the week before, the Jewish people were to go to the temple, to where the backside, they always talk about it, the temple, but actually there was, for lack of a better word, stockyards around the temple. And where the animals there were without blemish, they were raised strictly for the purpose of sacrifice. And so this is the time when they would go and select their lamb. And Scripture tells us it can be a lamb or a goat, which even way back in the Old Testament started bringing in the Gentiles. So if you're a Gentile and you didn't realize you were a goat, welcome to the party. It's okay. God loves the goats too. He created them all, right? So I don't mind being adopted. It's all part of God's family. But they were to select that lamb and then take it home, and they were to keep it for a week, and then they would have that slaughter, the sacrifice, the following Sunday. And that is how they do the Passover for us. It is the triumphal entry, and the day of the lamb being sacrificed is what we celebrate as Easter. So you'll see these two paths. But I chose that title because as we go through this, I want you to think about what that really means, the selection of the lamb. We have the same choice today, to choose the lamb, or choose the world, or any other thing we want to put in place of the lamb. And so many put something different there. But we'll start with the very basis. Invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's Word. The Gospel of John, beginning in verse 29. John 29. So I'm not going to take you immediately to the triumphal entry. This is actually John the Baptist, who they're going to be speaking about here in 29. And so when it talks of John, it's John the Baptist that they're talking. It's not John, the writer of the Gospel of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God.'" You may be seated. So John was the forerunner. We know the story. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Elizabeth was the mother of John. And he was to be the forerunner, the telling of the Christ that would be coming. And so he testified that he saw the dove, just as God had told him, that would descend upon the man who came, and that would be his sign for him to know that this was the Son of God. And notice what it says there in the scripture, the very first scripture that we read, the first verse. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, that context of the lamb and what that means, again, carries us back to the Old Testament in Exodus, where we see that taking place, Exodus chapter 12, in verses 3 through 6. And what that does in there, and I'll give you those scriptures, you can go and read them. I'm going to read real quickly through them. If you want to turn, you're quick with your Bible, you can do that. But when the Lord spoke in chapter 12, he says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.'" You want to know why the Jewish calendar is off from ours? There you go. Okay. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to a house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire with the unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, and they shall eat. And he continues forward with the instructions. That sets up the Passover. Now, this lamb selection, it tells you there, it has to be without blemish. In other words, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3 then tells us, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it to his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord. So we always talk about that accepting Christ is of our own free will. God has given us the freedom to choose. You see, the Old Testament verifies that because the sacrifice that is to be given of the lamb, we just read in Leviticus, says it must be from that herd of his own free will. It's not a mandatory, it's not a duty, it's not an excise type tax. It is one that God wants you to do of your own free will. And accepting Christ is the same, that it comes freely to you, but you choose it. Okay? God knows who your heart. He simply helps you and I out with that, because we're kind of, you know, we're akin, we're kissing cousins to the Jewish people, in that we sometimes have them old stiff necks too. Okay? We're a prideful bunch. And the older you get, the more prideful we get. And we, you know, that's why it's easier to accept the Lord when you're a young kid, because they're open. You and I have grown up with inhibitions now, supposedly to make us more civilized. Right. Okay? And I could go into a whole message on being civilized and being more intelligent, and I'll just refer you to the scripture that says God takes man's wisdom and shows the folly of it, and we'll let it go there. Okay? We'll just let it stop right there. But what it is laying out, that it's very important about this lamb. Now, I'm going to be like one of the movies. You've seen it up so far. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. And I want to tell you about another selection process that has become very important. We've talked about it before. But the reports now bring it back to bear. You remember in prophecy we talked about the coming of our Lord. And I've told y'all before, I preached on it quite a bit. We do a Bible study for the second time on Revelation. And I told you, you basically can take the prophecies, if you want, make you an Excel spreadsheet. I'm an Excel guy. And you check them off. And they're all there. Getting prepared for the temple. Except one major one. And that's the red heifer. Back in 2021, the Jews have always looked for the red heifer. 2021 was significant to our state. Texas sent back in 21, they sent them over that were bred here in Texas. And again, there's very strict, and it goes back to scriptures. We can pull that about the red heifer. It has to be without blemish. It has to be a certain age, and they have all this criteria. And they've been doing this for years. And every one of them that they find, as they keep that and let it grow, they find something that disqualifies it. With these last four that were sent, or three that it is now, that they sent, they have disqualified one. The other two are still there. Folks, they've already built the altar on Mount of Olives. They are ready. This week, they put out that everything continues to go. We're 1 week away. The red heifer is matched up with everything, and they say, this is the year that the sacrifice of the red heifer must happen. That is significant, because the temple can't start being built until the red heifer sacrificed. And you know, understand, the temple being built ushers in the rapture and the tribulation and so forth. Because you can't desecrate the temple if it ain't there, right? All the artifacts have already been done. So look it up. Look what was happened this week. Very important to you and I. Very important. At that red heifer that they have found, and I'm very pleased to say it came out of the great state of Texas. You know, a lot of times all these Yankees, they want to tell us that, nah, if it's so great, why? It doesn't matter what you think about it. God bless Texas, okay? There's a reason we have that saying. And God will show you, you know, you think about Texas for a moment. Everything God created, you find in some part of Texas. Deserts, mountains. I mean, you go to East Texas, you can actually see pine trees, you know? I mean, now West Texas, that reminds you of Israel and the Sahara, right? Occasionally there's an oasis. I can speak to that because I grew up out there. But in all seriousness, what we're seeing those events take place are very important to you and I as Christians. Not only does that mean shortly will our Lord be calling us home, but more importantly, it tells us we have a meter that's running on telling others about Jesus Christ. It's real, folks. It's real. That people want to say, well, yeah, we think those are fairy tales or whatever. I got news for you. There is going to be, as Jesus predicted, the crying and gnashing of teeth because they're going to realize the Scriptures were true. Every single one of them. So that is out there, and that is something which is coming up. Now, just as they selected, they have to have it meet all the criteria in order for it to be the right one. The same is true of the Lamb, okay? And so this is the triumphal entry day. John, it's recorded, turn with me if you will, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It is also recorded in Mark chapter 11. You can go and read that. But I want to look at Luke today. He begins in chapter 19, he begins in verse 28, and as Western Sunrise mentioned there a while ago, Jesus was sent out his disciples to go find a small donkey, and he came riding in. What I want to pull your attention to is verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives. We just talked about where the sacrifice is going to take place, right? So you see these names and places over and over again. At descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works they had seen. Listen to what that just said. They're praising God not for who He is, but for the mighty works they have seen. We have two sets of eyes. We have physical eyes that allow us to see the world. We have spiritual eyes that allows us to see the things above the world, into heaven and God's kingdom. And here they spread with a loud voice. Now, Luke and Mark have a little bit of difference as it starts. In Mark, it says that they begin to cry out, Hosanna. And here, it skips the Hosanna, but it comes the same, then it's the same text. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now this Hosanna that they cry out, it is a praise to God, but what it meant to the Jewish people in that time was, God, please save us and give us freedom. And that they were sick and tired of the Romans ruling over them. And that is exactly it. They had the worldly eyes looking at Jesus, as we just saw there, as with all the mighty works He has done. They cry out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of the Lord. They're looking for an earthly, physical king to basically give them political freedom. They want freedom from underneath the government of Rome. They want to be able to rule themselves. They missed the whole picture. You go, well, Preacher, how you know that? Well, we can skip down to verse 41, and as Jesus comes in, listening to them between 41 and 44, as Jesus begins to listen to them cry out, he comes in. It says that he weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps, for he realizes how blind they are. He is salvation, but he's not what they think. He's not what they're looking for. And because they're people, it proves to you and I, when we try to fill the God spot in our lives with other things, money, power, sports, whatever, okay? Anything can become an idol if you put it in front of God. Whatever it is that we look to, when that doesn't fulfill, we're very fickle. We flip to the next thing, okay? Y'all look bewildered by that fickle announcement, right? Okay, I'll give you an example from home. My lovely, beautiful wife up there, well, before we bought the place where we're at, one day comes in and says, in the old house, says, we need to kind of redo this a little bit. Okay. We as men know, yes, dear, is the answer. So I'm game. I'll give today out. It's a Saturday, but hey, whatever you want, baby, I'll do it, okay? She said, well, I want to move the couch around. Now, this couch is one that has a bed in it. And I swore up and down when I moved to Llano. I had moved that couch when we were first married from downstairs to upstairs, to another upstairs and back downstairs. Then when I left Llano, that couch was not going. It either stayed there or I would take a chainsaw to it and put it in a dumpster, but it ain't going to the new house if we ever move. And I'm here to say it did not go. But she says, I want to move that around. Okay. Well, let's start that over here. Well, let's move it over there. Now, mind you, Jacob ain't big enough to help, right? So it's Esday that moves it, okay? Esday moved it. Okay. I get the table, start putting. She's, I don't like it there. Move the table back. And we moved it over here. Okay. This time I waited a little bit. Must be good. Pick the table up. No. Put the table down. I'm learning real quick. Don't pick the table up. Okay? Leave the table alone. She says, well, we could put it over there. I was like, that's where the TV's at. Oh, yeah. That ain't going to work. Oh, never mind. Just put it back where it was. Okay. And I don't do that to slide her. But you see how we change our minds? We think it needs to be moved. We think she thought it was going to look better over here. And then when it got there, I don't like that. Put it over there. No, that ain't it either. So we try these different things in our life. And guess what? We go right back to what we've always known. Now, you see, when we moved, we had a new sofa. When you accept Jesus Christ, you get that new sofa. You get that new life. You get new eyes. We've been in that same house now, in the new house. It ain't new no more. We've been there 13 years. Do you know that sofa has never moved? Never been asked to move the sofa. Not the one with the bed, the new one, okay? That one stayed. I told them it's a package deal. They'd love that sofa. I'd have lied just a little. Anyway. Because, and some of you know that story, this house that we're at now, that's a God thing. There's a little story all behind how that happened. But everything there about it being a God house, and our lives had in this transition period, had in time since we moved here, our lives had changed to where we understood drawing closer to the Lord. We both knew Him. We just weren't as close as we should. And we started praying about everything, and that's why the new house is a God thing. We pray about it and we ask God to guide and direct us where He wants things. And you know, when God puts them in place, They don't need to move. He put it in the right place to begin with. God brought the right lamb. You see, what we read here is when Jesus comes in, and I'll go back to Luke where we were at. They said, "Blessed is the King who comes." They're looking for that earthly king. And they said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And we know in a week later they'll holler, not Hosanna, but crucify him. Okay? And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And that's exactly what nature does. It cries out. There is a God. I don't care what they want to talk about, this big boom garbage and evolution. No. The only thing evolving is the evil of men. And we see that on display. 41, "Now as he drew near," he's coming, he's hearing all this, "and he saw the city, he wept over it." Because they're looking for the things he did, what he can give in the physical world, not the freedom and the salvation that he brings. And Jesus says in 42, "If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and to level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." And of course, we know that is true. The temple is totally destroyed. But the temple was the centerpiece for the Jewish people. And what he's telling them is, you don't realize that the temple, you go to this building, this edifice that is built by Solomon, beautiful temple and all, most glorious thing the earth has ever seen, yet you don't realize one, he who is even more beautiful than that stone building is right in your presence. Folks, he's weeping over this world today. Amen. Convinced of that. Because you see, God never intended for any of his creation to be bought out and stolen more than bought out, stolen by Satan. And that's what he does. He steals lives. We often give the metaphor that sin is like a cancer. It eats from within. Guy told her that I got you to pray for at work. Prior to that, he's not felt anything bad or whatever. He starts feeling kind of sluggish and out of sorts for 3 weeks, and his belly starts hurting the last week, so he goes to the doctor. And, that was his when we first started. He said, "How do you go from being fine to you have stage 3 cancer in 3 weeks? And you see, that's sin. A sin in our lives is in there eating away and we don't even recognize it until it consumes us. The bad thing it isn't just us that it consumes. We see that with addictions. It affects the whole families. It affects the neighborhoods they live in because most dopers are going to go around and steal somewhere to get the money for their dope. It affects the kids that they have, both physically and the kids that they have, and also the neglect of those or the abuse of those children. Sin infects everything and it destroys everything it can because that is ultimately of Satan, the great evil one, and he says he seeks whom he may devour. Ever notice that? When we talk about Jesus Christ, we talk about making converts. Never do you see that the devil wants to convert anybody. He wants to destroy them because God made them. So they, on this day that we call Palm Sunday, Jesus came to the temple. He was riding in that they might select of their own free will the Lamb of God. And yet they rejected the Lamb. Well, they accepted because they thought he was going to rule earthly momentarily, but as we know, a week later they'll holler, "Crucify him." Matter of fact, we'll make a trade. Give us the thief and the murderer in place of him. And they put him on a cross. But the good news is, 3 days later, just as Jesus predicted, because he had been obedient to the Father, he proclaimed the Father would raise that temple again and live forever. And you see, that is mine and your hope. That's our faith. So today's the Lamb selection day. Have you chosen the Lamb? John proclaimed he is the Lamb of God. No other has ever impacted the world the way Jesus Christ did. And isn't it amazing? Nobody's ever had more controversy than the life of Jesus. But I will tell you here, the Scriptures are true. One day every knee shall bow, every person shall confess he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is Jesus Christ. He's given us markers. We see them being fulfilled. Now, you may have chosen the Lamb. If you haven't, we're going to give you that opportunity today to choose the Lamb of God. He will change your world. You won't be moving couches around anymore. When God puts it in place, it'll stay right there. Not only will He give it to you just like He does salvation, it will be forever. That new couch will probably be there till both of us are put in the grave. Then Jacob has to deal with it. I don't have to worry about it. But God's interested in giving you a brand new life. But you have to choose the Lamb. Now, if you're here today and already know Jesus Christ, then my question to you and to myself is, how do we impact the lives of others to choose the Lamb? How do we help them? Especially the children. You know, there's two people the devil preys on more than any others, and that's children and the elderly. He goes after the weak. Again, nature proves God. So those who are the scavengers, the coyotes, the hyenas, and so forth, if you ever notice, they don't go hit the whole pack. They want the stragglers, and they look for the weakest ones. That's the young and the very old. You and I must protect. For the very old, even though we think, well, hey, what use are you? They have wisdom to give you and I from a time gone by. You see, history has a way of repeating itself. That's why the world says, don't believe that Old Testament. That's your foundation. We as a people always ask, why? Why? We want to understand. Well, you can't understand and get the answers of why without going to the Old Testament. I gave you some of that this morning. That's why. The other thing is the very young. And folks, we got to admit we've neglected them far too long. That's why we have a lot of what we have today, because we didn't instill in them God's statutes as God told us to do. For a number of years, we are guilty. You and I, as Christians, we've sat back with our mouths shut. Can't do that. See, the devil doesn't do that. The one part of that story about the red heifer I didn't give you, they have already tied. Hamas did what it did in October to stop what's coming a week from today. Because they know the Scripture. The devil knows the Scripture just as good as we do, probably better than we do. He doesn't want to see that heifer sacrificed because that's the beginning of the end. That's the marker. The two-minute bell rings right there. And he's way down in points, but he's going to try to destroy everything he can. It also tells us we're in that two-minute press. We got to get the ball and hang on to that ball and carry it till all those can go with us. I don't know if hell's getting full, but I know Jesus has got more room for every single person God ever created. So what about those you care about? Loved ones, family, co-workers, You see, you and I, Jesus cared about the simple people walking on the street, even to the point that he knew when somebody in the middle of a crowd touched the hem of his garment. He always had time and still does have time for each one of us. Day or night, doesn't matter. You don't get no busy signal. You don't get no voicemail. You're in touch with the King. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Give you that opportunity to select the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. There is no other name, as Scripture records, above that name. And every tongue will confess. You can be part of the leader of the pack and start confessing his name now. Because you see, on Judgment Day, when the books are open, it does no good to confess his name then. It's too late. That freedom of choice is extended while you live. When you draw your last breath, your decision's final. And it's final for all of eternity. Not some religions say, oh, it's for a period of time, they can pray you out. Ain't gonna happen. That is a personal decision. I can't do it for my wife. I can't do it for my son. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. You have to ask Jesus Christ. The world can talk all they want about deferring accountability. There's a righteous God that will hold you and I accountable. One-on-one. We want that lawyer. And that lawyer's name is Jesus, who steps in and he says, Father, this one is mine. That's the only way you get to heaven. So here today, we're going to offer a real simple prayer.